Well, it's good to be here again for another Labor Day retreat. And a lot of times when I come, I come prepared with a testimony. I can't say that I really am prepared with a testimony. I've been doing a study the last couple of months preaching on Joseph, son of Jacob. Many times, you know, in the Bible, they don't have last names. And so you have David, son of Jesse, Jesus, son of Joseph. And so today I want to talk about Joseph, son of Jacob. And there are quite a few subjects that I've taught on. And so I quickly made some notes that I thought I would share this afternoon in regard to one aspect of the life of Jacob, Joseph, son of Jacob. It's amazing how many times you can speak and still get nervous. Praise the Lord. The title of the thought that I'd like to share with you this afternoon is When Life Doesn't Go As Expected. When life doesn't go as expected. How many of you here can honestly say I've had at least one experience in life when it didn't go as I expected? Most of you here have experienced that. Okay. I will share some things about myself and things that have happened, but usually when I come to Labor Day prayer retreat, I have usually come from a year where things have not gone as I've expected. In fact, there are times when I've come to Labor Day prayer retreat, my heart is down here, and I'm just trusting that the Lord's going to pick it up and help me to be up there somewhere. You know, I guess if I thought about it long enough, I could be here, but I'm not really there. I'm up here somewhere, maybe in the middle. But I have found that through my life, many, many times, things do not go as expected. Let me say that those of you who are here on the younger end of your life, if Jesus tarries, you're going to experience that there are going to be not a few times when things are not going to go quite as you expected. And I was thinking, when did life start not being as I expected? And I was doing some quick thinking in the last half hour, 45 minutes. And I think that life started not going as I expected when I graduated from Bible college. And I was saved in 1963. A lot of you weren't thought of then. But when I got saved, I realized that I was under the protection primarily through pastors that I had. I was the first one saved in my home. I was saved when I was 14, almost 15 years old. And my father particularly tried to make it rough for me to follow Christ. He didn't want me to go into church. When I was in my senior year of high school, he would have rather that I had gone into the Navy rather than go to Bible college. I was a great disappointment to my dad. When I decided to go to Bible college. And so during those early formative years of my Christian life, I was under, again, the authority of the pastor of my local church. And God protected me, I think, from a lot of things that could have happened in my life because of my pastor. And I went to Bible college within a couple of months after graduating from high school. And I think during those years that I was in Bible college, I was under the protection of the teachers and the leadership of the school. Because, you know, there were disappointments, but I don't remember major disappointments of where life just seemed to take a complete turn other than what I was expecting. But it seemed like as soon as I graduated from Bible college, all of a sudden I found myself in a midst of circumstances that I just didn't understand. And I could probably take another whole hour just to tell you a story about that. Because I am originally from Ohio, and one or two of you might know where Sandusky, Ohio is. There's a great big amusement park there called Cedar Point. And I used to love roller coasters quite a bit, and I've ridden most of those roller coasters. But my home was one block away from Sandusky Bay. I would just have to walk down the end of the street, and the bay was right there. And when I graduated from high school and went back home, I went back home to assistant pastor my home church. And again, a story that I could tell that would take a while. But I found myself so disappointed with life. And I would go down and sit on the park bench right there by the bay. And I would cry, woe is me. And I would have literal tears because I just did not know what was happening in my life. I had it all thought out, planned out. But all of a sudden, everything fell apart. And life was not going as I expected. And I was saved in 63, and I just turned 46 years old in the Lord. And I look back over these last 46 years, and I say, wow, there's been quite a few times when life didn't go as expected. And let me say again for the younger ones, it'll happen to you too. Just wait. If you haven't had a major upset or something, it will happen. And I could probably call one or two of you, and you would affirm. And then for those of you who are older, and maybe you're older, and maybe you haven't known the Lord too long, or maybe you have known the Lord a long time. But let me just say that it's okay that you've had those kinds of times in life. You know, when the first time or two, when you face something like that, you wonder, am I the only one in the world? In fact, you might be thinking, I am the only one in the world that's experienced something like that. But again, you know, the longer you serve the Lord, the more mature you get, the more you realize that these things happen. And it's okay. It's what you do with them that makes the key difference in the things that happen in our lives. And I am preaching chapter by chapter in the latter chapters of Genesis on the subject of Joseph, son of Jacob. And the title of my series is Pattern for the Believer. And you can study his life and you'll see a pattern that will follow into your life pattern as well. Others of you may have favorite characters, but Joseph, son of Jacob, is my favorite character. And I'd like to look at Genesis chapter 40. And I want to read verse 23 of that chapter. Let me just reiterate quickly the story there. Probably most of you have read it. Maybe you've even heard sermons on it. But here in chapter 40, Joseph has been in prison. And there are two men that are thrown into prison where he's at. And it was the Pharaoh of Egypt, his butler and his baker. And they both had dreams. And they told their dreams to Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the dreams. And lo and behold, they happened just as he said they would. The baker, he was released and he was hanged. The butler was released and he was restored to his position in Pharaoh's, in his administration, I guess you could call it. But there's a very important thought there at this juncture, and it's in verse 23. And it says this, nevertheless, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Okay. We know this about the story of Joseph. Joseph was, from the time that he had been thrown in the pit by his brothers and sold into Egypt and became the head of Potiphar's household, from that time until the time he was thrown in prison, it was approximately 10 years. Could have been 11 years. Because if you'll just look quickly, if you'd like to, at chapter 41, the very first phrase in the 41st chapter, first verse, it says, at the end of 2 years, at the end of 2 years. So we know that Joseph was in prison for at least 2 years. And then in verse 9, it says, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today reminds me of something where I am at fault. He remembers that when he was in prison, there was a man there who had interpreted his dreams. And, you know, to me, the story of Joseph is filled with all kinds of places where you can just daydream about what Joseph was thinking. Okay? And I'm sure that when Joseph had interpreted the butler's dream, or cupbearer, as it has here in this translation, that Joseph said, oh, the time's finally come. I'm going to get out of prison. Okay? But then you imagine a day or two goes by, a week goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by, 2 years goes by, and he's been forgotten. Life's not going as he expected. And if you know the story of Joseph, you know that by this time life is, had been full of experiences. Life just didn't go as he expected. Okay? So, again, 2 years pass, and the butler finally remembers. Can you imagine something so significant happening in your life and you forget all about it for 2 years? Okay. Now, I'm speaking particularly perhaps to some I have had the situation of where things were so bleak and dark in my life experience, and I had hit the bottom of the barrel in disappointment, and then all of a sudden a light came on. There was a flash of hope that something was going to change. And then all of a sudden, as quickly as the door seemed to open, it shut. Okay? And if you've been at that juncture, you know how high your heart expectation is because things are going to change. But then things go on as they have. As, you know, and you, what in the world? Where is God in the midst of all this? You know? And so, again, I just picture Joseph and what he was realizing and thinking in regard to his life circumstances. And so I, there are two words that I want to just highlight here in regard to when life doesn't go as expected. The first one is that word disappointment, which I've used quite a bit already. But that word disappointment means to be defeated in anticipation or hope. To be defeated in anticipation or hope. There are things in our life where we have this great hope and anticipation for the future. You know, originally I hadn't intended to go referring back to when I graduated from high school, but I had such high hopes, such anticipation. I had the anticipation that I was going to be an evangelist. You know what I haven't been in my life? An evangelist. I've been able to do missionary work. I've been to Africa. I've been to Europe. I've been to Haiti. And I've been able to go to different places and share the gospel and to be able to speak into people's lives. I've been a pastor. And when I first became a pastor, I really had not had the hope of being a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. In fact, I was en route to being a professor at the college where I graduated from. And that is just another example of how fast things can change, because I was prepared and I was going to go, and I got a letter from the person that said, okay, now you can come and be a teacher at school. And he said, I call it a Dear John letter. He said that we don't need you. And I can tell you that was another great disappointment. Defeated. Have you ever felt defeated? When you've anticipated something happening in life, or that you have hoped that something would take place. And again, it happens all too often. And the reason that I found when I was studying this particular thought here is that disappointments really are based in our expectation. We develop expectations for what the future holds. And there are several definitions for the word expectation, but the one that I chose to share with you today is a strong anticipation for the future. A strong anticipation for the future. And I think it has something linked it's to our dreams and what we think the future will hold for us. And so I've had these expectations for the future, and I am... I still have expectations in my life, but I have learned to adjust my expectations. The Lord has to be the end of the rainbow and what I expect and anticipate. And it's not that he hasn't been there, but it's the fact that sometimes, especially in youthfulness, you can get your sight set on things other that don't replace the Lord, but yet come up to that place of where we have such expectations of what's going to happen. I would like to read a portion of Scripture. As I've been going through these chapters in Genesis, I have been linking them to another passage of Scripture that to me goes along with that. And I think that this is the one, Pastor Eddie, you were saying to me at lunch. It may not be, but I remembered an element of it. But it's in Psalm chapter 62, verses 5 through 8. And it says, my soul, wait in silence for God alone, because my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I won't be moved. My safety and honor rest on God. My strong rock and refuge are in God. Trust in him, people, at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, the psalmist had learned that God must be that solid rock. That is the underpinning of everything that he would hope and anticipate for the future in his life. Now, let me just say that perhaps the translation might be a little different than what some of you think. I am using in my personal devotions a complete Jewish Bible, and I found it to be a great blessing. But it doesn't give the word here that you'll find in other translations. And in other translations, like the New King James or the King James, it says, my expectation is from the Lord. Here, the Jewish Bible interprets it as hope. My hope, my expectation is of God. And I thought that I would take a few minutes and share some reasons for disappointment. And again, those of you who are old hands and you've been around a while, you'll know, yeah, these things really are reasons for disappointment. But there are different reasons. First of all, people become disappointments to us. And we place such hopes in what people do and say. And if you're not careful, and we all have to learn the lesson, is that people will fail us. They will make mistakes, and they'll do things that will cause us to be dismayed in them. But again, God has to teach us that we have to look beyond people and look to him. There's no person that can take the place of God in our lives. And when we start lifting a person up, then we are bound for disappointments and perhaps even failure in our lives and our walk with him. So people are disappointments. And then, like Joseph, there are times of prolonged trials in our life. And we ask ourselves, when is this going to end? When will this trial end? And I've mentioned already about Joseph. He had already been in the trial 10 years by the time he was thrown into prison. And it was 2 to 3 years before he came out of that deep trial in his life. And I keep referring to that period of time because Joseph was 17 years old when he was thrown into the pit. And he was 30 years old when Pharaoh raised him up out of prison. So again, it was a long trial in his life, and it can be very disappointing. And you should just stop and think about Joseph. What in the world did he do to keep sane and to keep trusting in the Lord in that period of 13 years in his life? You know, I think, we have to remember that even like the Apostle Paul or some of the other writers in the New Testament, they didn't have all of these things that you and I can sit down and read. We are so blessed to be able to have the New Testament, to be able to sit down and read it and have it encourage us. Okay. Now, I think of many of the things that are written in the New Testament, and I think that they were all inspired out of the Old Testament. And to me, of course, That's the way it is. It came out of the Old Testament. My favorite verse is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I am sure the Apostle Paul must have thought about Joseph every now and again, that everything that happened in his life, it was all working together for good. So again, prolonged trials can cause disappointment in a person's life. Another thing I've found too in recent years is the fact that unanswered prayer. I would, if I asked everybody that has had some disappointments in prayer, I'm sure that there would be a significant number of you. I've had disappointments in prayer. Some prayers still have not been answered. When I was the first one saved in my family, I led my dad and mom to the Lord, but I have two brothers and sisters still have not come to the Lord. In fact, I was sharing in a message last Sunday about encouraging people to keep praying for their family. But I can say that I had gotten to a point where I was discouraged to keep praying for the salvation of my brothers and sister. And I was visiting a church several years ago, and a Jewish brother was ministering that Sunday. And he was talking about this thing about unanswered prayer and keep praying for your unsaved loved ones. And it's not that he said anything profound, but he had mentioned that he had been praying for his unsaved family for a long time. And he said, don't stop praying for your unsaved loved ones. Well, you know what? Ever since that moment, that's been encouragement to me. I've been praying for them several years, and I'm ready to keep praying for them until Jesus comes. Okay? But unanswered prayer can become a tremendous disappointment. You can imagine somebody that's praying for healing, and years go by, and they're not healed. Sometimes God even allows a person to die as a result of their disease. And we have to be so careful that we get God's perspective on things so that we do not become disappointed. Because when you become disappointed, you can lose heart. You lose courage. And you can actually nullify yourself from this Christian race if you're not careful. So you have to, again, be encouraged and know that even though things can be disappointed, that there's hope and you can keep expecting of the Lord. And another thing is to forget what God has done. And remembrance is a key thing. Don't forget what God has done in your life. Reflect back again and again. You know, brother, our missionary speaker, Brother Lutan, was referring to the fact that he doesn't remember when he got saved. And when he said that this morning, I was thinking about my wife. She and I have this ongoing thing every once in a while we talk about, because she doesn't know when she was saved, and I know the exact day and almost the hour. I would probably say probably about 9 o'clock, July 31st, 1963, I gave my life to Christ. And I'm so thankful that I know that, because I don't know how many times the devil has tried to rob me of my salvation experience. And I remind the devil about July 31st, 1963. Okay, it's remembering what the Lord has done. Okay, and whether or not you remember your date and time of salvation, that's not the key thing. You remember what the Lord has done. And my wife always, when she talks about that, she reflects back about different things that happened. She said she was saved when she was 5 years old. You know, and she tells about how she was baptized in the Holy Spirit when she was 9 years old. Okay, so she remembers, and as time goes by, you have all these things that you remember in your experience with the Lord. Because if you don't remember what God has done, the devil will cut you off, and you'll become so discouraged, so disappointed, that you lose hope. And then you'll wonder why in the world keep on going. And so many people these days are committing suicide because they've lost hope. They are so disappointed, so discouraged. But we have a reason to hope. Praise the Lord. And the Word of God gives us innumerable reasons to keep our hope and trust in the Lord. And so there are these things that we have to just remember, that in the midst of all those things, the Lord is working. I have a favorite saying, and I learned it a long time ago. You might know it as well. Man's disappointments are God's appointments. And it's just the realization that God is at work through everything that happens in our lives. And that thing that if you're in a point in your life right now and it seems like so full of disappointment, God's working. And He's going to bring you out the other side, and you're going to see what He is wanting to accomplish. The third thing I want to share is Joseph's great disappointment. And again, when it came to his experience there in prison, he had this hope, this anticipation, expectation that he was going to be released. And in verse 14, when the butler was released, to me it says, it's a very simple statement. I think he was saying this from his heart. Butler, remember me. When you're released, remember me. You know, just to be remembered at the deepest point of your disappointment. And to know that there is one. Everybody else may forget. They may not remember. But God knows right where you are.
Yes.
The butler forgot, but God knew right where he was at. And God was working in the midst of it all. And I just want to share one more thing and then I'll conclude. And that is, according to the psalm that I read, Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8, just read that whenever you need it for encouragement. To know that our expectation must be from the Lord. And the psalmist said, wait. Wait for the Lord. And that word wait has a very interesting facet of meaning. And this is what it means in the Hebrew. It means to be quiet, to expect what He will do. So when you're waiting on the Lord, you're going to get quiet. You know, that's one thing I appreciate about Pilgrim Camp and my association over the years. I've been to one or two services at Ridgewood, and but it's the fact that we anticipate that there will be moments of quiet. Yes. People are afraid of quietness. But you got to be quiet to wait and to anticipate what He will do. If it doesn't happen today, you wait tomorrow. If it doesn't happen then, you just keep on waiting. Wait patiently for the Lord. Take those times of quietness and anticipate what God will do. And you know, there are a lot of things that we can anticipate in our lives. But my greatest expectation is that I believe God wants to work. And we must be quiet in His presence. And we must expect what God can do. Don't get your eyes so focused on yourself and what you want for your future. But find out what God wants. Take that time to wait, to be quiet, and expect what God will do. And I believe that there will come, and you'll come into those times when you'll get discouraged. But be encouraged. Like David said, he took time and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Take time to get quiet and expect what God will do. God bless you.
I'd like to sing 297 with you. 297. Did you write this song?
I'm not sure if you wrote this song. I see W.C. Martin.
He's got but several songs.
The date is wrong. 19-1. You don't look quite the... No, I don't think so. That just happened. I didn't open... Because of that. But because it says, though the angry surges roll, I am peaceful because I know the Lord. Let's stand and sing this together. And if you can sing those parts, you men, that's nice. Okay, in the chorus, there's some special parts for you. Well, this is a camp song. We've often sung it with our campers down the boys' camp. They like it very much. 297.
attempt to seek to lure our strength. Storms obscure the light of day. Body cries, I can be bold. I'm an anchor that shall hold. And the world's my anchor holds. For wildest anarchy on the world so small and frail, by its grace I shall not fail. For my anchor holds, my anchor holds.
Amen. Let's be seated. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Indeed, O Lord, do I put my trust in Thee. Of that song too, it says, "Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior." Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just want to ask you to help us to keep our eyes where they belong, Lord. Give us grace to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We want to say that we are looking to you. Our eyes are upon you, Lord. Our hope is in you. Our expectation is from you, Lord. And Lord, you see all our hearts and all our lives and every circumstance. And we thank you for a word like this. We believe you have brought it before us because you know all of us. And you know all of our need and you are sufficient. Hallelujah. We thank you for the hope that is steadfast and sure. And we thank you that our anchor holds because it grips the rock. Praise the Lord. The example of Joseph is so encouraging to us, for we see in his life how you meant it all for good. And we thank you for bringing this to us this afternoon. So we just pray that you will help us ever to keep our eyes upon you. As the psalmist prayed, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. He testified that way, that you would pluck his feet out of the net. And so we thank you, Lord, with all of our hearts for the blessings of keeping our eyes fixed upon you. And we pray that you will fill all our vision. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Maybe some of you know this. Keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on God, and your body shall be full of light. Keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on God, and your body shall be full of light. Keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on God. And your body shall be full of light. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. And your body shall be full of light. So standing here singing that chorus, I'm racking my brain saying, think of some verses to that song. And the only one that comes to mind is, I'll call it the Philippians 3 verse. Many Christians make blunders and mistakes, but why call them all to mind? For the past is dead, let us look ahead and forget the things behind. Keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on God, and your body shall be full of light. Keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on God, and your body shall be full of light. And if I remember some more, we can come back to that sometime. Sister Jenny, we're so happy to have you with us all the way from Vancouver, and your son and daughter. Thank you, Sister Phoebe was so willing to just switch over to the organ when Sister Gerda left us. She plays over in her church, and we're so glad for her ministry to us this afternoon. She said, I pray that Brother Shrek gets here soon. He's driving up today. And thank you, Sarah, for ministering to us on the piano. We appreciate and that sounded great. Frank comes from home, and I love the music back at home, and he's one of the reasons. So thank you. All of you who are playing, Brother Bob too. And Brother Tom, we appreciate his ministry morning by morning and day by day. But Sister Jenny, come, and James is going to help us. Come.